Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thanks so much for Lifetime Holiness, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and I am from China. So I am what God is going to do today, and those of you who are listening, please pray for us as we are actually going to be in Taiwan doing some ministry and outreach. But we want to continue on discussing and going over why prayers are not answered, and just to give a brief synopsis, we've talked about the reasons for unanswered prayer, and it's not so much that we may not have the faith to believe, name it, and claim it, or confess it, possess it, or as the old saying, what you say is what you get. But then that is a huge thing. Lack of faith is a huge part of why prayers are not answered. And that's a genuine possibility, but it's not the actual, you know, factor affecting whether or not your prayers are answered. But things are wrong with praying, acting. And so our previous sessions, I encourage you, listen to them, past sessions, but just the wrong living, you know, the unforgiveness, the unconfessed sins, and an unfruitful Christian life. And we really expounded last week on the unresolved conflict. We just hope that your last week we discussed about going to our family members, our brother, or our sister, or our husband, or our wife, or our children, and just asking for forgiveness. We were at an all-night prayer meeting last night into this morning, and one of the things that we opened up with was just the impartation and blessing of the actual family members. And we know within the Jewish tradition, on Friday they have the meal, they bake the bread, they do what parallel to what we call communion, and they bless their children and speak blessings over them. And we just, you know, one of the themes was, how many times do we tell our husbands or our wives or our children or that we love them, and so, and sincerely mean it, or just to confirm them, affirm them, and just to be able to be a blessing to them. You know, that affirmation makes a difference and goes a long way. So that was our assignment last week. And as we do that, it actually is about a it brings about cool. And even last night or this morning, me and Pastor Star, we're all together, and you know, as Dad would always say, "Why are you already blessed?" You know, people would come and he'd pray. He said, "Well, you already blessed." Well, we know that, but sometimes it's just good to bless. So I just blessed Star and gave her a good blessing, and you know how we pray for so many blessings. Altar, and I know she's already tonight from head to over with a fervent prayer, and it was, in even though we're speaking into one another's night, we're blessing, but you know that can be a reason for unresolved family conflicts. And our session last week was 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way and grant her honor as a fellow heir, the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And that applies to the wives and other family members too. So if there's strained relationships or mistreatment or lack of respect or honor, then that can short circuit the power of prayer. So, but if your relationship is harmonious, I love you know, Matthew 18:19, the promise. If two agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them in heaven. So when you're praying, even in prayer, you have to be in agreement with what you're praying for. If you have one person say, I want to do it this way, I'm going to believe this way, and you're not in agreement, then you miss the blessings of the fruit of what can be and the fullness. And we know that God is Jehovah El Shaddai. He's a God of more than enough, and Jehovah Shammah, our peace, nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. I believe that's in relationships. Now, we're going to move along and go for it, space apart. And on to discuss just the wrong. And James 16, just where half-heartedly, we're believing. It's not just half-hearted. So in half-hearted prayer in James 5 and 16, and if we could read that, if you want to get your Bibles, and then we'll look at James 4 and 3, and then Matthew 6, 5 to 7, and then back to James 4 and 2. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and you're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. And we are discussing today why prayers are not answered. And we're going to start off today with James 5 and 16. So if you want to get your pen or pencil or your laptop or iPad or and take notes, that would be great. Well, we're going to look at James 5. And 16. It says, "Then confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. The righteous man is powerful and effective." So when you're in right standing with God, your prayers are going to be powerful, they're going to be effective. But if the enemy comes in and they're half-hearted prayers or in your life trying to work against the individual or not having the forgiveness, then or you're not confessing your sins, then the enemy will come in. So confessing your sins to each other, praying for each other, so that you may be healed. And I know so many of you have heard this, but it bears repeating. To have unforgiveness against someone else and to come against them is like drinking poison. Because when you try to come against someone and you don't want to confess even your sins or you have unforgiveness, and the same way with unconfessed sin, it's like a poison that the enemy tries to feed us that will ultimately and totally destroy us. So it's best, you know, my old pastor when I was a kid used to say, just hear that it's you is shaming the devil. So just go train. Devil. Don't confess what, but God, someone in your life, you may confess the sin, or just sometimes just need to confess it to God with a heart of repentance and cry, even in your private, not doing a 360, but a 180. So confess is the key. If we know, you know, the Catholic Church, that's one of the things they were huge on, the, you know, the confessing and going to the confession booths And but God, He is there, that and man is there. Yes, but we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who leads and guides and directs into truth. And because we have all of the Godhead working on our behalf. But the key is confession. So many people spend thousands of dollars for medical treatment, going to psychologists, psychiatric help, getting prescriptions of different things, meds. And but it's the root of it is just maybe unconfessed sin. So, and you're wondering why the blessings aren't, why the prayers are not being answered. So let's just, today, as we're focusing on that, maybe it's just the wrong praying, the half-hearted praying. And so let's just read that scripture again before we go to the next point. And so, again, that's in James, the fifth chapter. And we're looking at verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be sick, may be upset, you may have unforgiveness. No, so that you may be healed. And even with a lot of oppression, see what the enemy will do is when unconfessed sin, he will hinder your prayer. But he will try to come in to get you depressed. And then he will try to get you oppressed. And then he will try to possess your very soulless, your mind and your will, and to get you so on that. Then happened to bitterness. So if it's unconfessed sin that you know you're in disagreement with someone, or you hate someone, or maybe they hurt you, the confession is they hurt me and I want forgiveness, so that you don't go to the doctor to get get medication for that sickness. And so many times, if we look at people on different types of medicines that people are, you know, being prescriptions, Valium or some of the meds that are calming meds, a lot of that is because of the fact that it's suppressing the passion hurt that has become rooted. Well, again, the scripture says that if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other. So sometimes it's not about us focusing on our part, but how do you feel? You feel so much better when you just get your mind off of you and pray for somebody else. And so, therefore, confess, number one, your sins, number two, to each other, and then that's number two. One, confess to each other. And then the next point, pray for each other. Why? So that you can be healed. And then your prayers, you're in right standing. And we know the scripture that says, before you come to the altar, go to your brother and confess the sin. And so you can have a hardened heart. But even with divorce, Moses and even Jesus said that Moses was what? The divorce was allotted because of the hardened heart. But if one person can soften their heart, there's really a chance for reunion of the marriage. But if both people have hardened hearts, then the enemy will come in to try to destroy it. But they're not in agreement. But if today, if you're having problems in your marriage, and you're saying, well, you know, why am I married? I'm praying. Let's look at you confessing and maybe you going to that person with sincerity of heart confessing your sin may be the breaker to even happen up and have light within their soul and heart for forgiveness. So let's be led by the Spirit as we confess our sins and pray for one another, because remember, the righteous man, it says, the prayers of a righteous man in King James says, availeth much, but in the NIV, it says, it's powerful and it is effective. So we want to make sure that you are power-packed with powerful and effective prayer. Amen. So let's not just half-heartedly pray, but let's examine and let's go ahead and get to point two, which is, you know, praying selfishly. So, and even before we go to there, so anyway, even now, if there's something that you missed, or you're focusing on somebody else and what they did all the time, the Bible says, you know, get the, you have to get the big plank out of your eye. So let's just look at ourselves and what's going on. Work on changing ourselves. We don't have to, you know, try to change somebody else. Then they will begin to want to change their life because they see that you are changed. Even in the scripture, it says that even an unsaved woman, that she wins her husband over by her kindness and how she him and by love. And so the same thing there in with relationships. So now let's go ahead and look at the fourth chapter of James, and we are going to look. And who asked this wrong motive? Wow, they get on your pleasures. So sometimes, you know, we're asking, I was thinking years ago, they, you know, I forget the Janet Joplin, she used to sing the song, Lord, I forget how the actual beat, bless me, you know, I believe in God and prospering us. But when we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness for kingdom business, gives us everything, and this testimony here has become such a reality to us. You know, some of the things that we don't even ask, but when we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, everything that we want to be added to us, but sometimes we think we have to work for it. So, and just, you know, even my birthday this past week, I was like, well, Lord, where do you have us and what are we going to do? But we ministered at a church and we had the best time with some seasoned saints and generals of the faith in China, and three generations of their family, and just good fellowship and being able to preach. Lord, I couldn't even have planned this. But when we seek first God, he blesses us, even with the natural, things. There's the blessings when we ask God with right motive. So when we pray selfishly, you know, it says you ask and do not receive because you with amiss means wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And so we don't have to say, Lord, won't you buy me your Mercedes Benz? And focusing on self, or God bless me, you will walk in the blessings, even for the material things. And I love sharing this testimony about with Pastor Starr, and a lot of you know, as she was Miss Oklahoma, make top 10 in Miss USA, she was offered a job making six figures right off. But she had seen me as the same industry that was her request. But then God told her that life is not a dress rehearsal. This isn't a play. It's about kingdom business. And I have a call on your life. I have a purpose. I want you to tap into in a different purpose and perspective that I'm moving you to in your life, into the fullness of ministry. And this is what God spoke to her. And we started ministering to ministers and, you know, continuing and training mission teams. And on the, I think it was maybe a couple of years later, the actual company that she ended up resigning her job was having a huge conference. And when we went to this place, it was the Atlantis, and we were there taking 30 pastors and ministers. And for Dad's 105th birthday, we actually went to there in the Bahamas and with Pastor Miles Monroe's church. But when she walked into the Atlantis, we were just walking around looking in our team and taking pictures. She looked over into one of the banquet rooms, and there was her company that she had worked for having their annual meeting, and they had took all of their people to the Atlantis, which a lot of people looked at as like an ultimate, you know, thing or place. But here we were just ministering to ministers, believing for refreshing, but not wrong, you know, wrong praying. We want to go, you know, to the Atlantis or be here. But God, when you're doing something for Him, He will parallel anything and that the world can offer, because if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, you will to the divine blessing to know Him as Jehovah El Shaddai. And the things you're wanting, God will give you. Those prayers will be answered. You will know Him as Jehovah Jireh, your creator, and the provision shall be seen. That's what that means. Jehovah Jireh means the provider, and what He has provided shall be seen, not just so you can say, I've been here, but for His glory, that He might get the glory. Jehovah El Shaddai, He is a God of more than enough. This is just a testimony that I love sharing. You know, being a single woman and Star being single, and I always say my Jehovah Nisi, He's my banner, He's my house band. He's the band around my home. He's the band around my house. And sometimes I could just think of things in the natural. And God provides, because our motive is kingdom business. And I am not a shopper. I know a lot of people like shopping, but I'm just not one. If there's something I'm going to get, I like to go and get it. And then if I'm window shopping, I'm out either for exercise. You know, some people like QVC or go shopping. That's with me. That's just not one of the things I like. But, you know, everything that I have, even what I have on now, a pastor's wife took me into a shop and insisted that I buy this jacket that I want. So pretty much when you're serving God, He will provide the things that you need. And you don't have to ask with wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your pleasures or, you know, we talk about the testimony of how when we have gone different places, sometimes we go in mission home and they're on the ocean where people would pay thousands of dollars, or in nice places. That's where God puts us. Sometimes we may be out in the beautiful the mountains, but we love where God takes us and puts us. He gives you the desires of your heart. It's not a striving, but it's thriving in the blessings and the things of God. Pray selfishly, as James 4:3 says. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss with wrong motives. So let's know that when we ask for $1 million or whatever, it's for the kingdom, to feed the hungry, or to for ministry, to help pastors or apostolic ministry, or, and then God will bless, and that scripture will come so to light. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and everything that we need will be added unto us. So that should be our focus, that we're not going to say, okay, Lord, you know, I need a Mercedes Benz, and focus on materialism, or what can I get from God? Okay, God, let's make a deal. I'm believing for God. He doesn't really cater to us. And I want to say that right. Yes, he does give us the stars of our heart. But the focus and emphasis is he's not our bellhop, he's not our Santa Claus, but he's wanting us to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Everything literally will be added unto you in the natural as well as in the spiritual. So we're going to close. We will talk next week about praying pridefully and praying vaguely. But just remember, and you ask and do not receive because you've asked amiss. So let's look at our, so that we may not spend it on our pleasures. And even people are blessing you and lumping the things that God has planned and seek his kingdom. As Jehovah El Shaddai, as you receive, it's for to receive, but it's for distribution. So let's walk in those divine blessings, his kingdom, and remember, confess your faults to one another. And remember, any unresolved family conflicts, an unfruitful life, unconfessed sin, and unforgiveness, those will hinder. Live right, let's pray right, and let's expect the blessings from God. So I'll say success to you and success to God. And please tune in next time. God bless you, and we just pray right now in his name that you just lay everything at his feet. Say, Lord, hear me. God, everything that I ask, I want it for the kingdom and for the kingdom purpose. And Lord, I confess my sins and my faults to you, that you might hear my prayer. God bless you. Until next time, remember to be, not just to hear the word, but let's put some action to what we've heard. So I'm going to go out and love somebody. I know that love is contagious. I'm going to go out and pray with someone and confess my sins that I might be healed. So let us walk in the divine plan, for God has a straight and narrow path for us to walk. Blessings to you.